In the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 23, the history of the kings of Israel, many fascinating stories. Chapter 23, verse 13 through 17, just a little vignette out of one of the stories. And three of the 30 chief men went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines, and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it, and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Once again, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would come and apply truth from your holy word to our hearts. We acknowledge the authority of your word, the inspiration of the whole Bible, and we pray that Jesus Christ might be lifted out of this Old Testament story and made real to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not just sure of the chronology of this vignette, this story, but David has been anointed king. He has had the promise of God for a long time that he would rule over a united Israel, that he would cast out the enemies, and yet that promise has not been fulfilled. David is in hiding. Probably the cave of Adullam was on the banks of the Dead Sea, that area of desert east and south of Jerusalem and Bethlehem. David is in hiding. He's threatened. He's overwhelmed at times in his emotions. If you read some of the Psalms, you see where those Psalms came from. It came from that period of time when David was being pursued first by Saul and then by others. There were times when David could have, by guile or other methods, killed Saul, but he wouldn't touch the anointed. The promise of God that he would one day be the king is as yet unfulfilled. And David is feeling down this day as they sits around the cave or whatever they do while they're playing Robin Hood. And he gets into a mood of reverie, a mood of if only. He's aware of God's promise, and in a sense he's still believing, and yet he's also very much aware of problems and circumstances. He's tempted to feel that perhaps God really doesn't understand what it's like to be in a cave on the banks of the saltiest sea, or one of the saltiest seas on the earth, not have enough water, not have enough food. He's tempted to think that perhaps God really doesn't care this day. He's tempted to think that perhaps that promise which God made, perhaps he, David, has failed somewhere and God is just going to leave him out to dry in that cave. Perhaps it's as he takes a drink out of an old goat skin of brackish water that he says out loud, "I wish I had a drink from that sweet well in Bethlehem, just inside the gate. I remember when I was a little shepherd boy, how I used to lie down and open my mouth and let it run into my mouth, and it was so cool and so refreshing. If only I had cool, clear water from Bethlehem, I believed perhaps I would know that I was going to make it all right. And these three mighty men love David so very much. They overhear what he has to say. And they just give each other the eye and they nudge each other and they understand immediately. And they leave. And perhaps it's 25 miles or 30 miles across the desert, and they make their way to Bethlehem, ready to face any enemy. And they take a fresh skin of water, or pour water. They fill it up with water at the well of Bethlehem. It doesn't say how they did it. Doesn't say whether they killed some sentries or whether there was any bloodshed or not. But these men were capable of doing anything. They were the commandos of David's army. And they brought it back to David. And they gave it to him. And he did this strange thing. His heart was deeply moved. He said, "This is wonderful. You men love me that much. You've done this for me." And then he took that goatskin in that hot temperature when all he had was brackish water to drink, and he poured that Bethlehem water right on the ground. And he says, "God forbid that I should drink the blood of these men, the devotion and life." And he poured it out, not because he didn't appreciate what they did, but because he appreciated it so very much. And because he wanted to tell God, "There are no if-only feelings that are going to cause me to doubt that you really know where I am, that you know what you want to do with me. And if you want me to be in this cave and drink this brackish water and hold steady and let you work your plan and your will in my life, then I'll be faithful. I'll do my part. You're still God, and I won't take any shortcuts. I won't let my daydreams of if only cause me to feel that God has short-circuited his plan and his will for my life." I can identify with David so much, and I'm sure you can too. For God has a plan and a purpose, a good plan, for each of our lives. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to occupy a place of significance in the kingdom of God. And yet so often we feel, if only God understood the circumstance I'm in now, if God only understood that, you know, this is an exception. This certainly God couldn't have willed my coming into this dead-end alley or this blind situation. How come God doesn't open a door so that immediately I can do this or go that way? And we're tempted to daydream in our minds. Perhaps it's harmless enough if we don't let the daydream go too far. And yet we need to see, as David saw when he was brought up short, that it's not the if-onlys. God is God of the if-onlys. God knows those things. Praise the Lord. I remember early in my ministry when we moved to New Jersey from Ohio. And Ohio to me was Nazarene country. I didn't even fellowship with anybody but Nazarenes out there in the way. You know what I'm like anymore. But when I moved to New Jersey, I remember going to the milk store. And it seemed to me the clerk behind the counter talked like a gangster. I'd never heard anybody talk New Jersey accent before. My kids grew up in New Jersey, by the way. They can talk that way. I go down the street and it seemed as though the people were different. The culture shock was real to me coming from Ohio. And I remember thinking in a very real way, if only somehow I could have $1,000, I would move back to Ohio so fast it would make your head swim. Without a church, I hate this place. I can't stand it. If only God understood that I'm not cut out for this place. Ever felt like that? Feel sorry for yourself? Thank the Lord those feelings are just feelings. And we don't dare to indulge them. In David's case, He had a chance to indulge himself and to drink that water. But he said, no, I was wrong in thinking if only. And he said, Lord, take me the long route. There are no shortcuts to your perfect will, for your perfect plan in my life. Take me the long way, Lord, but don't let me get out of step with you. Refusing to satisfy ourself now and first is the way of seeing God's promises fulfilled in our lives. Shall I say that again? Refusing to satisfy our own self, our own thirst now, and put ourselves first, is the way of seeing God's promise fulfilled. I'm not a psychologist, but I'd like to apply some psychological principles to David's if only. Perhaps David recognized the deeper meanings of his thirst. And as he, the aspiring king, was in siege and shut away from the promise, perhaps as he said, I want that drink from the well at Bethlehem, he was recognizing the fact that back then was an innocence. Back then was a time when God's promises seem not only fresh, but simple to be answered. And as we get older, life gets more complex, and we say, can God really answer His promises in the way that I thought He could in my simpler days? And yet no amount of water from the well could take away the fact that Bethlehem itself was in enemy hands. And God didn't want just David to have water from Bethlehem, but it wasn't too many days and weeks after this that Bethlehem itself was in David's hands. And if David had settled for the water, he might never have had Bethlehem, the city of David itself. I think also of the deeper psychological meanings of the if-onlys that we dream about. If only I could hit the lottery, for some of the people I deal with, you know. If only I could be out of this financial situation that I'm in right now. It's a pretty good test if someone gave you $1 million tonight, cash free. Wow, that'd be great, wouldn't it? I'd buy that. Would you like $1 million without any tax free over there? I think, oh yes, you're smiling. You would. But you know, if $1 million cold cash would change your basic goals and principles in life, then the chances are your goals and principles are wrong. You see, oh, it would change perhaps a lot of things about our lives. But life has deeper meaning than things. Did you ever hear anybody say, if only I hadn't made the choices that I've made in life, and here I am in this career, and here I am in this marriage situation. The fantasy people don't talk about very much, but if only I'd married my childhood sweetheart instead of Agnes over there. You say, do other people think that too? Yes. But you know, very often that if only that you're smiling at, because I've caught you a little bit there tonight, the if only maybe is just trying to avoid the hard and necessary work of making a marriage work that you find yourself in. If you'd married that childhood sweetheart, today you'd be having if onlys. If only I'd married Petunia instead of Agnes. And life is like that. We say, if only, it would have been easier, if only. And yet we need to say, Lord, don't have me dreaming after shortcuts. Take me the long way around if necessary, but keep me in step with you. And if we can maintain our integrity and, like David, keep our sense of values straight, God will make something significant and meaningful out of your life. Not just out of the reason it's an exceptional thing is because it's exceptional that people will deliberately take the long way around with God. One other thing I might mention about what David may have recognized in the deeper meanings of his thirst for the water at Bethlehem, I like the fact that David refused to satisfy his own self at the cost of other men's risk. David revealed here a beautiful quality. I'd like to have a man like David for a friend, because he was loyal. He had respect for those men. He would not use them. How wonderful it is that David had this respect. And David poured out his if only to God, along with Bethlehem's future. It, along with the well and all the water in the well, was soon David's. Because David wasn't self-indulgent, he poured it out before God. David poured out as if only to God, along with his failure or success or whatever God had in mind for him. But he said, I'm going to be God's man. A self-indulgent, despotic David would never, ever have become a man after God's own heart. But David, in this impulsive gesture that reveals his real heart, as he poured that water out before the Lord, didn't pull back from keeping God first. He maintained his integrity. And I believe that sooner or later all of us will be in the cave of Adullam and will say, Lord, I know you've had your hand on my life, and I know you love me, and I know you've called me to significance in your kingdom, but Lord, don't you see, here I sit, and nobody even knows I exist, and nobody cares very much. If only I had done so and so. If only. We've all faced the if only trap in our experience. But don't you recognize how that can paralyze you? And if truly you belong to God, then we need to affirm with all that is within us that nothing but nothing can ultimately keep us from becoming what God wants us to become. And if you're not totally God's man or God's woman, then nothing, no if only, not even $1 million, can make up the difference. And so the challenge is there to me and to you. It'll come more acutely at times than others. But will you deliberately give your thirst to God? And will you trust Him as you are now with all of your future? Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, for this great man of God, David. Great even in his character flaws, and yet a man who walked with you with integrity. Lord, we understand that sense of if only at times. And yet, like David, we sense your promise upon us that as we abide in you and your words abide in us, we can ask what we will, it shall be done to us, that the promise is there, that we can glorify the Father by bearing much fruit. And so, Lord, help us not to be trapped by our if onlys. Help us not to be trapped by the sense of isolation and separation from God and from His will. Lord, we pour out before you those hindrances, those if onlys in our lives. We tell you that we trust you. We pray that you'll help us to go the long route with God, to walk in step with Him where He wants to go, knowing that His way is the best way and His is the way of life. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way. He will give me grace and glory
He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory, and go with me all the way where he leads.
Stand with me, will
you? Me, I will follow where he leads me. I will follow where he leads me. I will follow. I'll go with him, with him all the way.
Amen. It's been a good day. God bless you. You're dismissed.